Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Toledo, your host on Dent Time PDR, a podcast about PDR training, tutorials, interviews, and much more. So get something to eat, drink, and start pushing. It's time to listen.
What is crack-a-lackin', everybody? My name is Mike Toledo. Thanks for joining me on episode 18. Now, I don't know why I had such a hard time coming up with a topic. Usually I'm prepared. I have some notes. By the way, I'm going to bring a special guest on next week. It is a mystery guest. Most of you don't know this person. Some do. Some who, at least people who are very close to me, know this person. And I'm going to bring this person on next week. So you better grab a chair. It's going to be entertaining regardless. So anyhow, this episode is going to be about PDR tools. And with every episode, I try to bring my true life stories about my adventures, my challenges, things that I've gone through in this PDR business, especially over the years that I've been doing this. And this topic is about tools. Why I think investing in tools are important. How has it been so evolving? I definitely see it because I'm a trainer. I train guys to do PDR, and I see how fast they excel, how fast they're picking this trade up. Not that it's easy for them. Let's not get that straight. Let's mix up simple with easy. But I'm going to tell you right now, because of the way the tools are made, the way they're used, and the correct way, I strongly believe that you can pick up PDR easier. Now, let's back that up, though. It will start with a good trainer. So I see guys who have been in the business a long time, and I know some of them follow me, and they watch how I train, and they're just kind of taken back. Not saying that they don't believe it, but they're taken back about how fast these students are actually picking it up, like when I'm training my students, and what type of damage they're able to take out, and how quickly they are able to get into the PDR business just straight out of the course. Now, it does have something to do with me personally getting them prepared and how I train. But I would say half of it is the tools. And now it sounds like I'm pitching my training, which I am, because this is my podcast, right? But I'm not going to lie to you. The tools make a big difference. And if you don't think that is the case, then unfortunately you are in a cave. You really are, because the glue out there, the tabs, the StanLiner tools, however, they've been around for a long time. But you can see, if you've never heard of Casimir's or have seen his work, the type of repairs he's been doing over the decades is amazing, and it's obviously has something to do with his tools and then the techniques put into it. So we're going to talk about tools. We're going to talk about why I think they're important. This may go a little longer. I am just recording this on the fly, so I don't have any specific topics I'm going to run over. This may be a shorter podcast. It could be going to an average podcast length. I don't know, but I'm going to give you a couple examples, but I'm going to tell you a little bit of history of how I was using tools back in the day and what I'm currently using today, and then why I think they're important and you should consider getting them. So, going back to the prehistoric days, back in 1991 with my stepdad, we used to go to Home Depot, you know, and just kind of just browse around. We weren't looking for PDR tools there, believe me, we weren't. But, you know, I'd see one of those, you know, those garden, you know, those metal garden sprinkler things that you turn with, and it's got a triangle handle on it, and then it's got a little pitchfork, you know, on the bottom. And I was looking at it, and my stepdad comes by. Oh, hey, grab that. We're going to make a dent tool out of that. All right. So we take the dent tool, and then we'd go down to the metal warehouse. There was a metal, place that they had lots of metal and bars and stuff like that. And so we'd go pick it. We didn't know what the hell type of metal we were picking. We just, we'll take some of this and we'll take some of that. We didn't have flat bars. You know, we didn't use any flat bars. It was all rods. Everything was a rod. And our wire, we had a little small wires that you can bend all over the place. And so we'd take it to our welder, and then he would like go to town. We'd be there almost all day making these tools. And for the most part, they did the job, you know. And then if you've caught some of my past podcasts, we named them, you know, Malmu, Big Blue, you know, just named a bunch of different tools. And of course, that carries on to today. I don't name every single tool, but the main ones that I use, I name still to this day. And I'm not going to go over those names because you've probably heard me say them a lot of other times, but I'm going to say the one I always say, which is called Mo Money. And everyone knows why I have that tool, because every time I pick it up, it makes me Mo Money, Mo Money, Mo Money. So that's why I call it Mo Money. And it's a door tool. But getting off track, me and my stepdad would be at this welder all day and all night just making tools. Now, I'm going to tell you about some of the worst cars that I had to work on that, man, if we had today's tools, it probably wouldn't even be a problem. It would be a challenge. It'd be like today's Challenger, the rear quarter panel Challenger. And this was the Dodge Daytona. This is like we're talking like a 1985 through 1990 Dodge Daytona. Okay. Or those anything Dodge or Chrysler sucked in the doors, especially the coupes and the convertibles. They were a nightmare. We had basically a round wire, and to get to a dent, they weren't flat wires. To get to a dent, you'd have to push down the door, snail trail, which means make a high spot into the panel to get to the dent, pull the tool back, and reverse fix what you dented to getting to the dent, and doing that. So that's how good you had to be in the end. You had to fix what you were dented to get to the original damage, and then reverse fix it. We would drill holes like you wouldn't believe. Let me take that back. We weren't even drilling back then. It was, you took an awl, like a punch, and you punched in through the side. Guys, I know it's terrible. I know that. Okay. I wasn't taught any better than to do that. I didn't know there was specific drill bits you could do. Now, we all knew why you didn't take a regular drill bit, because if you took a regular drill bit, the regular drill bit would take off on you and then hit the skin of the car and crack the paint. There weren't unibits out there. Now, there was the roto broach bit from that Matco scent, which had like a little pilot punch in the middle of it. So you'd have to make a little punch hole, then you'd have to use your half inch. And that was the only size that you could drill, was half inch using that. Other than that, there was no quarter inch drill bit that you could use safely without damaging the skin, because you're always afraid that drill bit would take off on you. And did we have plugs? Hell no, we didn't have regular plugs. So we siliconed it, used silicone, black silicone, put that in there. I mean, really prehistoric caveman way of doing dents. Am I proud of it? No, but I am. I respect the way how I've actually come a long way, and I'll admit it for the guys out there who've been in the business 15, 20 years, that most of them have done it the same way when they're first learning. So, I'm not proud of it, but I'll tell you what, I've learned a lot of it, and I've learned to be a much, much better tech. And I teach to be a great tech, to be the best tech you can be. So that said, again, at that time, a particular moment, I was either, the name of my company was either Dent Different or Dent Worse. Okay. I wouldn't say it was Dent Better. I mainly did a lot of wholesale accounts, and I did a lot of, not a lot, but I did some retail. So I was never full blown into retail. And you guys always heard, you've heard my stories with retail with my stepdad, because I didn't go out and do retail by myself completely right off the bat. So I got a lot of practice at the dealerships and the wholesale accounts. The tools back then, again, like I mentioned, I didn't have any whale tails. And if they did exist, there was no internet, right? There was nothing to kind of go and do a search or forums back then, because it would have been a lot easier to find out what tool works, you know? The door jammer, yes, we did have a door jammer. We used the vice grip and a ring on the end of it. And to this day, I still use it because it's the quickest way to set up a door and jam it to keep it open and somewhat steady. It's not as near as nice as today's door jammers, like the new Anson Extra Large by Derek. Derek that just came out with that, and then the ones that come from a B&D. So it is, I'm just going to tell you guys right off the bat, it is just a great time to be in PDR right now. Regardless if you're a young PDR tech, not as in young person age, but a young experienced PDR tech and a very experienced PDR tech. Today, I was using some Standliner tools, and the more I use them, the more I feel giddy. I feel super like a little kid in a candy store, because they work really good. They work tremendously well. The tequila tools from Anson. I mean, you're getting to dents that you couldn't possibly get before without drilling a hole or having to be forced to glue pole and be on it 15, 30 minutes longer than you needed to. It just, life's a lot easier that way. But back in the day, you either were going to get it out and make different holes all over the place, Swiss cheese it, and get that dent out somehow, some way, or you weren't. And about 50% of the time back in those days, we weren't. I hated those Dodge Chrysler cars. I hated those Dodge Daytonas. And you guys got to keep in mind, back those cars, 85, I didn't do dents in 85, but keep in mind, I came in 91. So I'm doing cars that are about 10 years older. And then obviously the current ones that are out then. So you didn't have a choice. You could work on a late 70s model car all the way to the mid 80s to the current early 90s. And those cars had real metal. And your tools that you're using, or at least I was using, were flexing and twisting, and there was no strength in it, no drive in the tool. You know, today's whale tails from DentCraft, when you twist on that tool, the drive of that tool, the shaft is not twisting like tools did back in the day. The drive goes right to the tip, which that's what you want. You don't want any flex. Otherwise, it kind of makes you doubt where your tip's at. It gives you false reading. Maybe the shaft will twist and hit the skin before the tip does. So it could be really frustrating. It could really throw you off. And it just doesn't help in any way to make your dents that much easier. With the whale tails from DentCraft, it has changed the way I use those tools. Hands down, the DentCraft whale tails are one of my favorites. Now, I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but I'm recalling things that I wish I would have had that make my life easier. Now, I'm not talking about, now the DentCraft whale tails aren't anything brand new as of today. They do have a new set, I think, new type of tool called the Hammerhead, which I haven't had an opportunity to use yet, but I'm planning to. But the drive on their tools, their whale tails, are nothing like any other thing whale tail I've had. There are some similar ones that look a lot like them called CarePoint. And the advantage with CarePoint is that the handles on some of their whale tails, or a lot of them that they have, you can't really tell just by looking at it, because it does look like a DentCraft tool, is that their handles are ratchet. It's got a built-in ratchet inside of the handle of some of the whale tails. So if you are considering checking those out, go to denttoolsusa.com. Check them out. How much better? I mean, if you're a tech that you've been in a game a long time and you really haven't upped your game on tools, but you happen to be listening to this podcast, I don't know. It's kind of funny. If you're listening to these podcasts and you keep listening, but you've never gotten any new tools, or you're kind of just still prehistoric, or maybe you buy some, but you don't buy that often and you really don't think it's going to make that difference. Do you remember when the soft tip came out? Do you remember how much that changed? Like when you had a soft tip tool, the pushes were different, were they? It was compared to your blunt tools, your sharp tools that you had, or anything else that you were using to push with to get leverage. It what was the difference between that tool and your other tools? And it's generally, what is it? It's generally coverage area. Like how much of the panel are you making contact with? And keep in mind, when you're making smaller pushes with a tool, the smaller the tool, or the more blunt or the more sharper the tool, the smaller the area of the contact of the tool that's making. Therefore, you're not going to cover as much area. So if you have a bigger dent and you're using a smaller tip, you're not going to move much metal. You're only going to move a little bit of the area that you're pushing. And usually it's about five times smaller than the area that you think you're going to move. So that's where soft tips came in, because you were able to move at least two or three times more metal than you were used to. And it was awesome. Now, I thought I was top of the world when those soft tips came out. And that was from Ultra Dent Tools. That was back in, I think I picked one up in maybe, I'm going to say 2001, maybe. That was probably the year I started picking those up and started using those. I think between 1999 and 2001 was really, really evolving super fast. Ultra was, based on my memory, was at his house making tools in the back of his garage, and he had a little small tool shed in the back. And the tools back then that he made were still the same quality caliber that he does today. It's amazing. Obviously now he's super big, and he's Mr. Baller now, and he barely talks to me. And I'm just kidding. Steve's a real cool guy. But back to the tools, it just makes a difference. Think about when you use the soft tip. What would you do without a soft tip? You know, I know some of you guys improvised. You use leather. You had your own tools. Sal, look at this. Sal is kind of like, to me, is like the modern Casimiris. Okay, he does things different. If you've heard of Sal Contreras, he's a unique technician that will spend an enormous amount of time on a dent and get it perfect. Compared to you or me, most of us wouldn't want to tear off a door for a door ding, or a 6-inch crease. We would find other ways to get to the dent. But Sal has his way of taking something and making it a presentation. You know what I mean? It's like he has his ways. He'll take a door off. He'll have his dent dial. It's called the dent dial. Okay. I have three of them. Fantastic tools. Okay. You can bend it. You have a sled in the middle of it. And my point is that when that came out, hello, it was a different way to push dents. Okay. It was actually, in most parts, you weren't pushing, you were pulling. You were using it completely opposite of what you were normally using it for. His method was, hey, there's the dent. I'm going to create a tool custom for this type of repair. And he was able to do it right then and there, mobile, and create attachments. And his way of doing bigger dents was mass pushes, okay? Soft, bold, controlled pushes. Why would you want to create more work for yourself? And I agree too, because when I teach technicians, I want them to understand what tool is going to do what, for what. Why are you going to use a certain tool? And do you know what the effects of that tool is going to do? So for instance, if I have a dent the size of a hand, I'm not going to grab a midpoint tip, like a bullet tip point, or wrap it with tape, because it's still going to be blunt. It's still going to give me kind of somewhat of a sharp push. So I'm not going to be able to move more, a lot of metal. I'll get to techniques in a little bit, but I'm talking about a tool. If you had a dent dial, and I'm talking the front fender, good crunch. If you had a dent dial, you could put one of his little gadget things that he made, or you can custom make it yourself. You could take like a square metal tip, put some leather on top of it, screw it into one of his little attachments he has that for it, and then put it through the fender, let the dent dial rest on the tire, and then you are, instead of having just a soft tip or like a quarter of an inch or a half inch of push, you can have 1 to 2 inches of pushes. Do you know how fast you can bring up the metal that way? Much easier, softer, cleaner, faster. So now you're kind of following me how it's evolving a little bit more in the tools. And I'm not done yet. Okay, so there, between the combinations of knowing how to move metal and then knowing what tool to use, because the tools do make a difference and help you have a better repair, cleaner repair, save time, make more money, right? So tools are a huge investment, huge, an asset to what you do. It's your livelihood. It's your job to stay informed, keep yourself informed, understand what's happening now. But I guarantee you, a lot of you have the dent dial. A lot of you have the soft tip. If we took those tools away, the whale tails. Well, if you took the whale tails down away, a dent dial, like a flat bar. A lot of you dent wizard techs use a flat bar down the door. Of course, you've had that since probably day one. But even now, you dent wizard techs are evolving as well. Or at least dent wizard the company. Not say you techs, because a lot of you techs understand that you like tools and it would make your job easier. But even at that, the tips that you can put on, the different apparatuses, the glue pulling. Let's get into glue pulling now. Glue pulling has come along huge, huge. And if you're like me, you've been into the game a long time and you got a glue pull system in the beginning of your career and you thought it was crap. At least I did. The first time I tried, I was like, what are they talking about? This thing is junk. It doesn't work. Man, we just didn't know what the hell we're doing. It's the same thing. I'm going to tell you it's the same thing with the new Standliner tools too. And I'm not pitching it because I'm getting paid for this stuff. I'm not getting paid for dent dial, for promoting dent dial. I'm not getting paid for Ultra or dent craft. Not getting paid for any of that stuff. My job is to help the industry and help educate you. The more I educate you guys are going to educate me back. We're going to educate each other. We're going to make this industry a lot more better. We're behind the times, fellas and ladies. We really are. And that's another subject too, because I don't know about you, but I'm tired of making less money, especially in the wholesale market, and feeling guilty that I can make $150 in 5 minutes. And those of you that with these tools, you can push out a dent in 3 minutes, but you'd rather charge $75 because you feel guilty. But we have another topic on that later on, because I'm going to break it down why you need to charge what you need to charge. Really, because you need to see why and how. But let's stay on topic. We're talking about tools. So apologize. I'm getting a little rant a little bit, because I'm passionate about this industry, just like you are. And hopefully you're still with me on this podcast, all right? So the tools are involving with the dent dial. Now we're getting into glue pulling, right? So glue pulling is going somewhat pretty good. You know, we wish, you know, I'm like, man, here's how I thought, like, what glue pulling was. Because I'd have good days and bad days. And I'm like, man, I got to glue pull this car. Please glue work today. Please, please. Oh, come on, tab. You know, I'd get a bunch of titty tabs. You know, those are back in the day. Some Worth tabs. Cut the wings here and there. Kind of custom fit it to the dent. You put too much glue on. Sometimes I get lucky and sometimes I wouldn't. And I was just like, man, what's going on with this? I hated using glue because I got mixed results. Why? Because I didn't understand the why factor of how to use those apparatuses, those techniques, those tools correct. And that's what made me frustrated, just like probably you did. But it evolved. Lo and behold, glue came along, different glue. Well, that did make a difference. It did. And I remember this on Dording.com, and I think that forum still exists. So if you're still a forum guy, like a true old school forum, go on there. It's Dording.com. You'll see some OG dent guys on there, man. Anyhow, they have some glue. And I remember this guy says, I got this Texas snot. I was like, well, it sounds mean. So, you know, let's get some. So, you know, I ordered some and it did work for the most part. It did, because Texas was hot, humid, and those guys really had a hard time glue pulling back in the day because of the humidity. And, you know, and PDR during those days was hot and humid because it was a lot of hail there, and it was in the spring and summer, and you'd get all those thunderclouds and rain and stuff. So it was a feast or famine. Either they got it out or they didn't, but they found a way. And so that, I think that carried over, like, you know, Oklahoma, Texas, Midwest, Kansas City, Missouri, all that stuff kind of, I think that's where it really, really evolved over. And it just kind of carried out to the rest of this nation and obviously the world and then Germany. And then, you know, it can get really, really deep, guys. Okay. Because Worth, if you guys think, that's a German company, the Worth tabs and the Worth a glue company, the slide hammer stuff, the whole package that they had. And now today we are, look at this, man. We've got like formulas. Anson PDR's got formulas. You know, you talk to Kiko, they got their new tabs. You know, Keith Constantino with the gangrene. I mean, it is hard not to mess up. I mean, it is hard to mess up in glue pulling now. If you can just get a little bit of education on how to glue pull right the first time and skip all the trial and error, especially the new tabs, the new formulas, it's a win. What would you do today without glue pulling, right? And there's probably about 30% of the time, 30 to 40% of the time that you can't get to the dent sometimes. Can you imagine constantly losing 30% of your business because you can't get to the dent? And probably it's probably a little bit better for some of you, because you guys will do whatever it takes to get to the dent. You'll probably take off the door or, you know, just totally tear down the car, do it and charge accordingly, which is great. But for the majority of the techs, they rather pick up a glue gun and put that tab on there and pull it, just like me. I'm pretty dang good at it now. I love glue pulling. And then the tap downs, look at the tap downs, how it could be. We know that glue pulling has a lot to do, not only just once you get the dent out, now you got to be tapping down. And how clean can you get the tap downs? Now you got blending hammers like crazy all over the place. I mean, there is a niche for every technique that you're going to do. Glue pulling, deep dents. Now you got the PDR hot box. You got the PDR power PDR box. You got aluminum power box. I mean, hot box, you get, it goes on. You still think that PDR tools don't make a difference? What happens if these tools never evolved? I think there'd be a lot of dent difference out there, different dent companies out there, dent different dent companies. That's what I'm going to call them. Okay. Dent different, because you wouldn't get it out. You make it different. You can make it better, but it's still different. So now you're talking glue tabs, right? And lo and behold, you know, cold glue from Brazil. Now you guys all heard that story. You can even watch it on YouTube. I got a video of us going out to the parking lot after we had breakfast the last day we're leaving MTE, because Daniel Grom, Mr. Toolman himself, couldn't help it. He had to buy it. And I laughed my butt off at him, dude. I'm like, what, dude? You are crazy, man. I can't believe you bought that. But I'm glad we did it. We totally used that glue the wrong way too, guys. So here's a tech tip. If you buy the cold glue, you just don't take it out of the package it has and stick a glob on there and expect it to work. There's a thing that you have to do. You have to get it to activate, shall I say. And what you do is you only take maybe a quarter of that or less, what they give you, because what they give you will last 5 years guaranteed if you take care of it. And you only put a little bit, like if you're putting glue on your tab, just enough to cover the tab, okay? Maybe less than that, but you spread it out. But and before you do that, before you put it on the apparatus that they give you, you want to take it and you want to stretch that stuff out, like just really stretch it and knead it and pull it and stretch it. And you'll feel it getting really warm and tacky and gummy and nasty, sticky, icky. There you go. It's ready. Put it on. Put it against the dented panel firmly. Twist it a little bit. Make sure you get a little grip on there. Get ready to pull that slide hammer back. Watch your hand, watch your palm, because you're going to pinch the crap out of it. Believe me, you won't do it again after you do it. And you yank for the world. Boom. Man, it is the greatest thing ever. Generally, about 50 to 80% of your dent is gone. It did all the work for you. All you got to do is knock down the crowns, do some finishing work. Good night. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Wow, no kidding. Jesus.
And it's over. Not every dent's like that, but like maybe you have a crunch dent. Maybe you have some areas that you want the cold glue to work. Boom. Now, speaking of that, going back to hot glue, this is Kiko Super Tabs. That changed my life too. I do. You can go back and watch some of my YouTube videos. A lot of them have the Super Tabs that I used. The Monster Miata dent. There was no way cold glue would take that dent out. I had to use the Super Tabs. And the Super Tabs have their place, especially with the new apparatuses that they have now. They got the K-bar, right? They got the, what is the upper apparatus? I got both of them. But it makes life easier. Maybe you want a control pole. You hook that thing on. Boom, you can control the pole of that nasty crown. Get that crown working. Get the metal flow going. It is awesome. And another tech tip. Just because it's a big tab doesn't mean it's going to need more glue. You just want to put like, just zigzag it with some hot glue and you're good to go. And speaking of glue, the latest, here's my top five glues I like, okay? All right. And you guys, this is the latest podcast. This is 2018. This is, I'm recording this on October 3rd, 2018. So I think the hottest glue right now is the hog glue. It's the Daniel Grom hog glue made by AnsonPDR.com. You've got the Tab Weld, which is a fantastic glue. They're both very similar. So when you put it on, it's kind of tacky a little bit. You'll find that the hot glue most of the time stays on the panel, which technically is good because that means less likely that you pull paint. The Tab Weld is very elastic. It pulls like a monster. You got the Extreme Purple. You've got the Glue Tracks from Anson. Super good. You got the Cactus Green. And I like the bubble gum. That's just mine. Now, you gentlemen and ladies who are in the humid, hot, and cold, extreme weather, that's going to vary because you will probably use like the Orange Fire, the blue ones, the blue sticks that are for cold weather. So you guys will have extreme weather, but you'll be using different glue. But most people can agree with me, at least those top two are very good glue. So now we're getting into more different tools. Look at the hail bars. You get Carbon Tech. You got the Carbon Tech carbon fiber tools. Yeah, and there were some tools before that. Drew's Tools came out with some cool stuff back in the day. Okay, he was one of the innovators of different variety tools. A small guy making small different tools, accessories, just blowing it up. And I want to say thanks to Drew. Nobody really talks about him that much, Drew's Tools. But you know what? He put out some really cool tools and he helped really kind of bring up the independents out there. And now you're talking lights, right? Let's go talk about lights. You know, Carl Stuckey, let's give that guy some, man. That guy had freaking an awesome innovator. He came out with the first cordless light that I ever saw. Bitchin' little light. Okay? Couldn't believe it. Cordless light. Cool dude. Came out with a cordless glue gun. Right? And then you got James Lee. And he actually, Carl Stuckey still makes it. It's terrific. It has one of the best fogs in the industry too. So if you're a fog guy and you're looking for a cordless light, you might want to check out Carl Stuckey's. But here we go. The Illumident lights, the cordless lights. Boom. I mean, the LED lights came out before, before all those cordless lights came out, man. I mean, look at this. Look at the different stuff. You guys can't tell me how many guys out there still use a bulb. And I know there are some people, but how the majority of the people who used a bulb switched over to the LEDs. Why? Because you could see better. You could see clearer. So you can't tell me tools haven't helped you do dents better or perform or make them better and clearer and see cleaner and make you work faster and more efficient and make you more money. This is my point of my podcast. Don't be one of those people who ignore what's going on. Because the new guys are coming in here. They have an open mind. They don't know. They don't have that mentality of going, I'm working with what I got and that's it. No, I'm going to work with whatever that comes near me. And if I see it works, I'm going to try it. And if I like it, I'm going to stick with it. But I'm going to use this. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use this and that. And it keeps going. It is a great thing to do. Great thing to be in this industry with tools. Right now, I'm in the infancy of trying Stanliner stuff. I've seen some of my friends using it. I've seen other little tutorials on it. I had personal, not a long time, but I had a little bit of experience with Kaz himself over at MTE. That he showed me. And that's when I really started opening my eyes because I really needed somebody to show me personally on how to use those tools. At first, I'm going to be real honest with you. I was kind of closed-minded. I wasn't sure. I heard mixed reviews. I was curious, but I wasn't sure if it was going to work, if those tools were really going to work. Was it just him fluffing things because his tools were the best, or was it really true that you could actually make your job a lot easier and make your dents cleaner? And the answer has been so far Yes. Yes. I believe that. Today, I also realized that there's a big learning curve in it, just like anything else. I feel like using Kaz's tools, the Standliner tools, is like trying to learn how to glue pole in its own way. You know, when you were glue pulling, there were set times, right? There was a formula like, okay, I'm in Texas, it's hot and it's humid today. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to pull within a certain time. This is the tab that works best with this glue. That's how I feel with tools. That's how I feel with Kaz's tools. I'm getting the push I want, but maybe I need to move it over to the left. And maybe I need to twist it here. Maybe I need to slap it. Maybe I need to blend it. Maybe I need to switch. Okay, so tools have come effing a long ways. Look at the umbrellas that are out there right now. You got one of the best in the industry. The first one that came out was the Mobile Tech Shade from Ian Cordill. You've got the Get a Grip. You know, he's got the arm that holds the heat gun for you, Matt. I mean, it just goes on. Like, and look at Edgy Tools, you know, Dave. I'm going to get him on here in the future too as well, because accessories are huge. This guy's this like mad dog in all the friggin' accessories. He's got some crazy accessories. Now, there's one company that almost made it. I thought he was going to be the next Ultra, to be honest with you. I really did. I thought he was going to just take it by storm. I'm not going to mention it because it's really not, but if you have a potential of being a good person and being able to do what you say you're going to do, and you have some ideas and you're an innovator, there's no reason why you can't thrive in this industry and be a great tool manufacturer and help, you know, help the industry. You know, there's Dave right there, the small guy right there, man. He is killing it. The hangers, the hookers he's got, all those little small things that he came up with is just so freaking awesome. It makes your job that much more easier during your repairs and enjoyable. That's what I love. That's why you see me going, like when I do my videos and I pull out my stuff, man, I'm proud of it, man. I love it. I just can't wait. I'm like a kid in a candy store. I'm like at Disneyland. I'm, you know, if you want to see a guy more happier than me, then you need to go check out Daniel Grom. You need to go to his shop. The guy is, he's 56 years old going on 7. Okay. If you ever get a chance and you're at Mobile Tech Expo, you need to talk to that guy. He is one genuine, nice, nice dude. So I think, you know, I at the moment, I didn't write all the new tools down and stuff like that. And special shout out to A1 Tools as well. Okay. And Maria and all the team out there and her husband. I just can't think of the top of my head. John, I think. They're doing a sensational job. Just really, really great job. They're making some of the tools for Kaz. They're making some of the tools for Anson. It's not that I never thought that their tools were not good. I just think they're that much more better today. I think it has a lot to do with them being involved in the industry too. But I love their tools. I'm looking forward to seeing them innovate some more. And then I heard on the grapevine that Inventure got bought out. So I'm looking forward to seeing those tools being brought back. And then speaking of Inventure, speaking of across the pond, let's talk about TD and Tools. What about that cart that they came out with about 5-6 years ago? Or it might have been longer than that. Guys over there, top-notch guys. Shoot, man, you order something over from England from them, it usually gets here faster than if you could order something from Missouri. Usually anything faster from a normal shop, a PDR tool shop in the country, in the U.S. country. Talk about customer service, all right? And I can't say enough about James Lee. We all know James Lee is like, I think Amazon would like to get some pointers from James, because he has probably the most fastest customer service I've ever seen. So Shout out to those guys. I'm trying to give everybody a shout out. I'm trying to think whatever comes to my name. So if I forget you guys, you tool manufacturers, you little guys, you're doing a great job. And I'm just trying to pass on the message that keep investing in tools, guys. Keep going out there and trying new things, because you really will get a lot out of it, especially if you keep an open mind about how to use these tools. I said enough. I'm freaking out. I got to go out with the wifey. But thanks a lot for listening, guys. If you could do me a favor, please go to iTunes, leave a review. That would be very, very helpful. I'd love to hear back from you guys. If you listen to this on YouTube, please give me your thoughts down below. Give me some comments. Give me some feedback. What would you like to hear? What would you like to talk about? It could be anything PDR related. I'd be more than honored to talk about some of the topics that you'd like to hear. Okay? Thanks a lot for listening.